Gracious God, take our minds and think through them. Take our hands and work through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. The summer I was 11 years old, I went to church camp for the first time. Nestled in the woods of southern Indiana, close to a town with the picturesque name of Bean Blossom, Waycross Camp was where I first encountered today's gospel story from Matthew. It was, of course, if you know anything about church camp, in the form of a skit. And it went like this. A woman was sitting at home reading a book when the phone rang. Surprise, it was Jesus. And he was calling to say that he was going to come and pay a visit today. So the woman started to do all those things that you would naturally do if Jesus was coming to visit. Vacuum, dust, bake some cookies. Only as she attempted to get ready, she kept getting interrupted by people at her door. First, it was a neighbor who smelled her cookies baking. She was renowned for her cookies, and he was hoping to get some. But the woman was impatient. The cookies weren't really ready yet, and she didn't want this person just hanging out at her house because Jesus was coming. And so she said, "No, come back tomorrow, and I'll try to save some for you." The next knock at the door was a group of neighborhood kids who were hot and dirty and sweaty, and they came for lemonade because she was renowned for that as well, of course. And usually she was very generous, but today she did not want those dirty, stinky, sweaty kids in her house because she had just cleaned. And so she told them, "Just run around the back and you can drink from the water hose." Because this was the 80s and we still did that back in the 80s. Just as soon as she had returned to her chores, you guys see where this is going, right? Someone else was at the door. This time it was her next door neighbor who wasn't feeling well and was hoping for a ride to the doctor. But the last thing she wanted to do was, of course, leave because she might miss Jesus. And so since this was in the days before 911 and it wasn't really that severe anyway, she said, "Pop over to the other neighbor. They'll take you." So she closed the door and pulls the cookies out of the oven, puts them on the cooling rack, and sits down and takes a deep breath and starts to wait. And she waits and waits and waits, and Jesus doesn't come. And so when the phone rings again, she's flustered when she realizes it's Jesus, and before she can even put a filter on, she says, "You're late! Are you still planning to come today, Jesus?" And Jesus, of course, replies, "I've already visited 3 times. And each time, instead of inviting me in, you turned me away." I was 11. It was all very dramatic. It was around a campfire ring out in the middle of the woods. I imagine we probably had some sort of group discussion or art reflection afterwards. I don't remember. Counselor Todd probably busted out his acoustic guitar, and we all sang "One Tin Soldier" or "Both Sides Now." What I do remember is the way I felt. I felt alive with the Spirit. It was as if all these pieces of a puzzle for what it was meant to really be a Christian had finally slotted into place for me, and my heart was on fire. I was 11. And I knew nothing of salvation through works versus grace, nor do I remember any discussion of that eschatological framework of the sorting of the sheep and the goats. What I did take away from the story was that there is God in each of us, and we have a responsibility to take care of one another. And that means we have to actually pay attention to one another. I share this story with you today because this gospel is one of 3 in the lectionary cycle chosen for this last Sunday of the church year, the Feast of Christ the King. And I believe it tells us just as much, if not more, about what it is, who it is that we are called to be as followers of Christ, as it does about Jesus enthroned in glory. Perhaps this is what it points us toward. Theologian and mystic Thomas Merton wrote that our job is to love others without stopping to inquire whether or not they are worthy. That is so often so much harder than we might imagine. Over and over again in the Gospels, we see Jesus loving without boundaries and without question. And yet, even for him, there was that one time that he messed up. You know, that time with the Canaanite woman who begged him to heal her daughter. And he denies her, and she says to him, "But sir, even the dogs deserve the crumbs from the master's table." She called him out, and when he attempted to set this limit on his love, and his response was not only that he healed that girl, but then to throw open his healing embrace, because in the following verses, we are told that he healed a multitude along the Sea of Galilee over the course of 3 days before feeding 4,000 people gathered there. The lesson here is not that we must be or even can be perfect in our love for others, but there's something fundamental to be learned from living and loving as widely, as abundantly, and as fully as possible. Presbyterian pastor and former editor of the Christian Century magazine, John Buchanan, had this to say in reflection on this gospel. "God wants to save our souls and redeem us and give us the gift of life, true, deep, authentic human life. God wants to save us by touching our hearts with love. God wants to save us by persuading us to care and see other human beings who need us. God wants to save us from obsessing about ourselves, our own needs, by persuading us to forget about ourselves and to worry about others. This is God's favorite project, to teach you and me the fundamental lesson, the secret, the truth, that to love is to live, and to live for Christians is to love. So it is that maybe, instead of being the last Sunday of the church year and an ending, today's feast of Christ the King is better understood as the eve of a new year, that thin space where we stand, from which we can look back, but more importantly, from which we are being called forward in love. I've always thought of this Sunday of the year as a capstone, but just maybe it's a both and. Distilling a final message of who Jesus was and what it means for us to be Christ's followers, while at the same time beginning to prepare us for the incarnation. For next Sunday, we enter Advent. And it's not only the start of the church year, it is also the beginning of the time that we set aside and return to every year to prepare to come close to this mystery of Christmas, when God became flesh and the fullness of love was born among us. Matthew points us toward this beginning and gives us the key to coming close to this mystery. Because just like the woman in the skit that I saw at church camp all those years ago, sometimes people can walk right through a mystery without even realizing it. And when our vision turns myopic and we succumb to the slavery of everyday busyness, and life in all its complexities, we need to be persuaded by God's love to remember how it is that we are to come close to a mystery. It is through living and loving and serving. For when we take care of one another, and most importantly, the most vulnerable in our midst, we not only come close, we enter the mystery of God, and we are welcomed at the feast. What this looks like for each of us is and will be different. Many of you serve in various ways here at church or out in the wider community. I know lots of folks here who give regularly to the charities that they believe in. The love given in these acts offers transformation in our broken world. That's who Jesus was, and yes, who we are called to be. And so my prayer is that we come close together today in worship. We come to know more deeply that we are never alone in the work that we are called into. In a world that seems too big to be changed, we believe that together our lives have more meaning and value than we can imagine, because Jesus is the shepherd who guides us, the one who will come in glory when the reign of God is fulfilled. So pay attention. And when the phone rings or when there's a knock at the door, answer it with love, as if life itself depended on it. Amen.